It's me again. Hey, Evan, if you could go ahead and come up here real fast. Today is graduation Sunday, and we are celebrating some of our students that are moving forward in life. And I'm gonna read you the list of names that I have. I have Jace Miller. He's graduating from kindergarten. We got Weston Buncey. He's graduating from preschool. Brandon Head is graduating from high school along with Michaela Stacy and Dalton Ferguson. And then we have Alexis Jacobus, Evan Chernow, and Leah Ferguson. They're all graduating from eighth grade. And then I have one more, Richardson, is graduating from high school. Evan, we got a little gift for you. A compact Bible. It's the NASB version. It's the one that we use here in the service. So here's a gift for you. Congratulations. Can we pray for our graduates? God, thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for just the opportunity to get to invest in students. I pray that we are recognized as a church that sends our students into the world prepared and ready to overcome. So today, I mean, in essence, we're essentially celebrating growing up. And when I look back at my college or high school graduation and going to college for the first time, I am baffled by my attitude. I was that kid that I thought I could change anything I wanted. Like, I could do whatever I wanted. I'd get in a little bit of trouble. I think that's partially why my wife married me. I'm a little rebellious. And so I remember I'm going to college. Me and my buddy Andrew, we've been best friends since sophomore year in high school. We're like, we're going together, so we're rooming together, and it's going to be like party central all the time. We're just going to have people. And I remember we get to Bible college, and we're in our dorm room, and we meet our roommate, and he's kind of a quiet guy. His name's Jarrell, and he's not as excitable as we are, but we're just pumped. And I remember the first song we put in our room, and I mean we blasted it through the dorm, was Eye of the Tiger. Now, some of you might not know this song, but man, if you like Rocky movies, you feel pumped. You're like, yes, I'm excited. I can't wait. And then we started this group called the Bear Claws, and everybody could participate, but lots of people didn't want to, and it was fun. Listen, growing up is fun. But here's the thing is, I never want to be considered a grown-up. A grown-up to me means you got it all figured out. You have life kind of all positioned in a way that you know exactly where it's going. I'm a child always, because God calls me that. I will always be a child of God. If I'm 102 years old, I'm still a child in God's eyes. I mean, if you think of the vastness of eternity, it's not really that much of a stretch to think, man, God has lived forever and always will live forever, and I get to live for this short period of time on earth. I'm a child of God. You are a child of God. This week I had some students. I don't know if you know this, but on Thursday we do go fishing as a group. Everybody is invited. You're all welcome to come. We meet here at 6 o'clock. But this week we had a pair of siblings, or some siblings come along. And they were talking, and they were talking about seating and where they're going to sit when we drive out to the lake. And And one of them was like, no, I want to sit there. And the other one was like, no, I want to sit there. And the sister called the brother a child. She goes, you're behaving like a child. And he looked over at her, and I mean, just square in the face, I am not a child. And I laughed because her response was great. She's like, well, as long as your parents live, you're a child. And I was just like, I couldn't help. I laughed out loud in that situation. Both of them are mad, and I just laughed. How often do we want to say that, though? I am not a child. I have children right now, and the thing is I want them to remain children. I don't want them to grow up, but they're going to. But when my children do grow up, I want them to know how valuable their name is. I want them to know when they leave my house, they represent Nick Grimm. It's going to be very important that I instruct them and tell them the way that I want them to go, the way I want them to behave. Because they represent me. I gave them their names. But what I also want them to know is how proud I am of them. Man, I love my kids. I'm sure you parents sitting in this room feel the same way. But I want them to know when they leave my house, I'm proud of them. Beloved, how amazing is it to be called a child of God? In John chapter 1, verse 12, that is exactly what you are called. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. I don't think there's much more that gives me pride than when my wife, Natalie, talks about me to my children. When she's like, do you see how strong your dad is? Because, you know, I'm working on the guns. There's nothing that makes me more proud when she says, hey, isn't your dad so funny? And my kids laugh with her. And man, wives today, go home and cherish your husband and tell him how proud you are that you are in partnership with him. But tell it to your kids. But here's the thing. Today is not about me being a father. This is about your father. Your father is a powerful God. Let me tell you how awesome your dad is. When you go to Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 12, it says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? Or what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, where were you? Or who enclosed the sea with doors? When bursting forth, it went out from the womb, and I made a cloud its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and I placed boundaries on it and set a bolt and doors. And I said, thus far you shall come, but no further. And here shall your proud waves stop. Have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place? This is just 12 verses out of 3 chapters. Go read about your father. Go read how powerful he is. Your father wants you to call him by that name. When Jesus taught us to pray, he says, our Father who art in heaven, that is your dad. He is so powerful. He is an amazing father. But here's the thing is, we know that he's powerful, but names are powerful too. When you named your child, that meant meaning to you. It still holds meaning to you. But do you know your father's name? Your father goes by many names. Here are some names of your father. The Light, Giver of Peace, Faithful, Creator, Redeemer, Jehovah, Wonderful Counselor, the Truth and the Light. He is our strong tower, Compassionate, the Good Shepherd, Giver of Peace, God Most High, God Almighty. He is all-knowing, all-forgiving, and all-loving. He is faithful, Emmanuel, Judge, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords, the Great I Am. And He is your everlasting Father because He calls Himself that. How great is your Daddy? And He intimately wants to know you. In Luke chapter 12, verses 5 through 6, it says, "Are not sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, you are more valuable than sparrows." Your God knows you better than you know yourself. Because how many of you in this room can count the hairs on your head? He knows you intimately. They're all still little hairs there. But He still knows you and wants to know you intimately. This is your Father, and He is always there for you. So why would I talk about your father when I talk about growing up? Because here's the thing is, He's behind you. He wants you to be recognized in this world when you leave this place. And He wants to say, "You are my children. And I love you." There's a very simple story. It's one that honestly is often skimmed over, and we skip over it too often. I mean, it's only 4 verses long, and we sing about it. Sometimes we sing, "Jesus loves the little children." I'm sure you remember that little melody. And I'm pretty sure that it comes from this text, but man, there's so much meaning in this text. In Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, it says this, "And they were bringing children to Him so that He might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, He was indignant and said to them, 'Permit the children to come to Me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all.' And He took them in His arms and began blessing them and laying His hands on them." Man, 4 really important verses. I want you to go into fantasy land for a moment, because I'd never want to think about this normally. But I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine we go to Columbia. You have your kids with you. You go to Columbia. They've been feeling kind of sick. They have a temperature of 102 degrees, and you're like, "Man, we gotta get them to a doctor." So you take them to the doctor, and you say, "Hey, my kid's been sick," and they do run a bunch of tests, and they come out and they say, "Listen, your child is ill. There's only a 75% chance that they're gonna even pull through this. But here's some good news. you hear that while you were in Colombia, back here, Jesus decided to come for a day. He decided to come. He's sitting right here. He's saying, hey, come. And you know the healing powers he has. You've heard about it from afar. You've read it. And you say, oh man, I got to get my kid to Jesus. He can heal them. Jesus, the healer, is right here. And then you get here, and then there's some men standing in the way, saying, oh, no, you can't come here. Jesus is too tired. He's too busy. This teacher of ours, he's not able to talk to you today. What would you do? I mean, honestly, would the sound of a shotgun be too compromising to get to Jesus to heal your child? Well, let me tell you something. Your children are sick. They just don't know it yet. But there is a cure for the illness, but it didn't come cheap. No, it was bought with Jesus' blood. He is the cure for sin. See, when sin entered the world, what people thought it was, oh man, and don't get me wrong, I thought this same thing too. They thought, oh man, you know what, now we're going to have pain. My back's going to hurt when I work the land. I'm going to be sad, and sadness is going to be in the world. But that's not what it did. No. See, when Adam and Eve were living in the garden, they got to walk hand in hand with God. In the coolness of the night, they got to be right next to Him. That's the separation that we have now. But Jesus cured that. He came in and He said, I have a cure for your sin, and it's my blood. That's the real disease. Some of you are going to be seniors in high school. Some of you are going into the next phase of your life, eighth grade, going into high school. And some of you are here and you're going to say, man, I want to encourage you that go take on the world. But parents, if your children are here and they don't know about the cure, man, that's on you. God wants to know your children. He wants you to bring them to Him. He wants you to not hinder them. It's not the disciples anymore that hinder our children. No, parents. Many times, it is ourselves. We get so caught up in what this world wants us to do. Man, little Johnny, you're a great basketball player. Let me tell you how great you are. Man, you know, Johnny, if you get really good at this, you could maybe play in college and get a scholarship. And then, you know, you'll get a degree, and then guess what? At the end of it, you'll get a job. And maybe if you're really good, you could even go play professionally. Oh man, Johnny. But here's the thing is, don't forget, we have practices on Sunday. No, we have games on Sunday. Johnny, you gotta be there for the game. Listen, parents, let me tell you this. If your kid's that good, it doesn't matter if he's there on Sunday. Amen. They'll play him anyway. I know, I'm a coach. My best player plays, whether he shows up to practice or not. Or maybe it's little Susie. You're a great softball player. You know, one day you could go and play college softball. Get yourself a degree. And if you're really good, one day you'll get to play for the U.S. team and represent us. And you'll get to go to all these countries. If she's that good, she'll still play. And even if she isn't, is it worth her soul? You're playing with fire. And not just some skim little third degree burn. You are playing with a kingdom that is represented by Satan. Because see, there are only two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of heaven and there is the kingdom of hell. And you belong to one of them. There is no middle ground. Do not hinder your children from coming to church. Getting to know children of their own age so that when they go out in this world, they're encouraged by others. You set the tone for your house, parents. Nobody else does. It doesn't fall on anybody else's shoulders. It's you. And dads, it's especially on you. It scares me that there might be a generation that doesn't know God because their parents decided not to invest in them. But if you won't listen to me, if you're like, Nick, you're way out of line, I hope that you would at least listen to the writer of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another towards love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some." Don't give that up. Don't stop coming. Be here. Be a part of this. "But encouraging one another all the more as you see that day coming, as it draws near." Because that day is coming. "For if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries." If you are not a friend of God, you are an enemy of God, and you are His adversary. So now we've gotten through hinder. But here's some promises. Jesus says in Mark chapter 10, verse 15, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom like a child will not enter it." Oh, what does that mean? Let me give you this illustration. I have a daughter. Her name is Annabelle. You may have met her. And I love her deeply. I love her almost as much as I love my wife, but she is the least affectionate child I've ever known. She does not give hugs out. And I want them all the time. I'm like, please just give me a hug. Give me a kiss on the cheek, something. Well, that's been the case for a while, but these past 2 weeks, I gotta tell you, every time I come home, lately it's been, "Daddy!" And then she runs up to me and she gives me a hug. And I just start trying to talk to her, but she just wants to go back to what she was doing before. And that's great. She gave me the hug. Man, that's what we should be like. I started this with telling you about your daddy. That's what your daddy wants. He wants you to run after him. He wants you to say, "Daddy, I'm so happy to be in your presence." You know, the term that's sometimes used for our God is Abba. And it could be translated Father, but really it's more intimate. It is exactly that. It's Daddy. You see, your Father wants you to run to Him. And then in verse 16, we get a promise. "He took them in his arms and he began blessing them." I don't know about you, but growing up, I like Christmas and I like Thanksgiving because that meant a time that my family gets to come together. I get to see, you know, my grandma and my grandpa, and I got to see my mom when I was away from college, and I don't know who my dad is. But I still love those times where my family got to come together, where my uncles were there and my aunts, and we all crowd around this place, and we sit together, and we eat a meal, and we joke and make fun of each other and play. We were Trivial Pursuit people. The whole family gets in on it. Man, I just remember those. I'm sure some of you have the same type of memories. Here's the thing is, every Sunday we get the opportunity to come together as family. See, I am a part of the church. You are a part of the church. This brick and mortar is not the church. And coming here on Sunday like some ritual because you have to is not going to bring you any closer in relationship to God or the people around you. You have the opportunity to get to know your family every Sunday. That's why you come. This is your family. I want to be a part of your family. I want you to be a part of my family. I want my kids to get to know you so that you can teach them, because one day they're not going to listen to me anymore. They're going to listen to one other person. It might be you. But what I'm afraid of is it might be somebody else. See, Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He is looking to devour someone, and I don't want it to be my child. Josh gave a great sermon last week. Man, if Satan's not coming after your children now, when will you recognize that he is? But I want you to be a part of this family. We can do this together. We can be together. And we have one awesome daddy. Amen. Today, as you go home and you leave this place, I honestly want you to ask yourself three questions. What is my purpose for coming to church every Sunday morning? And hopefully it is every Sunday morning. What is my purpose? What am I doing here? If I'm just coming to sit in a pew and warm it and not excited about getting to know my Father and getting to know the people around me, well, you're not serving the purpose of the New Testament. Am I being the example to my children or to the children around me that God wants me to be? Am I being that? For some of you, are you being the grandparents that God needs you to be? And the last thing I want you to know is, do you know who your Father is? I mean, do you know who He really is? When I said those names of God, did you say, every time almost, amen, amen, amen? Because that's your daddy. If you don't know who your Father is, if you don't know who He really is, in a moment we're going to give an invitation. I want you to know who your daddy is. I want you to know, be a part of my family. I want you to enter into the waters of baptism and be a new creation. If you haven't done this, please come forward and be a part of my family. Come meet me. Come meet Josh. Come meet the elders, because the elders, they want to be a part of your family. Pray with me. God, as we leave this place, we want to feel your presence. We want to see you as Father, and we want to go in the ways that you would have us go. Direct our path. Protect us from Satan. Let us be the example to our children that we need to be. God, I pray that you make us a people that is longing for your heart and just wants you above all else. casting everything else aside, let us draw near to you. We love you, God, Father, Father.